Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. We made it.
Barely.
It's Good Friday. Yes. So to all of those who are getting ready for Easter, happy Easter. Yeah. And hope some people are off work today and just listening to us on a more relaxing day.
Yeah. We, the kids had spring break this week, so we're going to dye some eggs today.
Oh, that's nice. You know, we need to get ready and prepare for next weekend.
Oh my God, yes!
The ladies are joining me in San Antonio. Now, is it y'all's first time in San Antonio?
Yes, same. Both of us.
Yeah, I've been to Houston and Dallas, but I've heard that Austin and San Antonio are the fun cities, funnest in Texas. So I'm super hyped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but what's crazy about Texas cities is that they're all so different, right? Because Texas is, it's a big bitch.
It's huge.
So it's very huge. It is. And so, you know, San Antonio is very unique. They all are. All the big cities are. But April is our big fun fiesta month. We have a lot of events and things going on. So it's busy. Everything's buzzing, like we talked about in last week's happy hour. So we're going to have some fun, do our besties meet and greet, and spend like, what do we have? I think 16 hours worth of filming, like slated or reserved, you know? And so super excited about that. So we thank you all for all your suggestions on content, future content that is incorporated. So hopefully you'll see some of your recommendations and hot topics that you wanted us to cover, you know, coming up here in future episodes.
Yeah, we can't wait. And follow us on the socials on our TikTok and Instagram at HR Besties Pod to see some of our scenes. I love to make a good, I'd love to make a good video with music behind it of all of our fun times.
Yes. Ashley does such a good job on those.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're very easy to do thanks to technology. So I am pumped.
So what are y'all looking forward to most visiting San Antonio? Just curious. I know it's not a tourist trip per se. It's a work trip, but still.
Yeah, it's a work trip.
Well, I always like to have fun. I like just the Riverwalk. Like, I love a good body of water. like in Louisville, Louisville, the city line is very much defined by the Ohio River. Here in Atlanta, downtown is not, but I live close to the Chattahoochee River, so that's kind of my mental state. Jamie's gone
down
with me.
Yonder.
Jamie's gone with me walking my dog Rosie on the Chattahoochee, and in Sydney, and we live right on the harbor, and so I love a body of water, so I'm excited to stroll holding hands with you all along the San Antonio Riverwalk.
Oh, yes.
And you would probably try to do that too.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be lock arms.
It's not try. I'll say, guys, can someone take our picture? Then I got my phone stolen by trying to skip down the Riverwalk with you all. But
such is life.
I'm most excited about matching jammies. Yes.
Oh my God. See, y'all are just kind of cringing me out a little bit. Like, if you're an introvert on the phone, just know that I am as well, surrounded by two very extroverted co-hosts here. So I'm doing my best. But I love them. We're all different. It's wonderful. But
she's like,
matching jammies. I know, right? Matching jammies.
That's like in the interview when your interviewer says something really cringy and you're like, God, I have to laugh right now.
Exactly. So Jamie's looking forward to those matching PJs. And I'm not kidding, Ashley. You said Riverwalk, and so I wrote that down. I'm showing the ladies Riverwalk with like a star. Like, I have that on my action sheet for y'all's
there
visit. Oh shit, y'all want to go to the Riverwalk? Okay, let's make sure that happens for you all. So we'll do that, and then of course, you know, I'm probably going to have to get y'all some breakfast tacos and some pasteles, like some sweet bread and all that, you know. So
barbacoa.
I'm going to stop by the panaderia. I'll probably take y'all too. You know, we can pick out some good shit that we can snack on.
I can't wait. You know, I speak Spanish.
No, I didn't know you spoke
Spanish. No, I didn't know that.
I was a Spanish major in college, Spanish and international studies.
What? I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, but we went.
What the fuck?
We went to Costa Rica last year for spring break, or I guess 2 years ago for spring break, and we went with two other families. And I guess I'd literally forgotten to mention it. And the bus driver was going, and he starts talking, and I was like, oh. And so I translate, and I'm like, oh, that's fine. We're all going to go to McDonald's. And I went, my friends are like, what the fuck do we plan this trip to Costa Rica and you don't mention that you speak Spanish? And I was like,
who are you? Yeah. Right? Like, Jamie and I are like shock face. Like, wait,
I know.
What?
Like, we're now learning this. That is very cool.
Well, I'm sure you can teach me something because I just got that Spanglish, really.
Well, no, I'm not a native speaker, but I've taken Spanish since I was like six years old.
That's awesome.
Damn.
When we lived in Australia from 2016 to 2018, my kids were little, there they teach languages and they choose what language you'll learn based on kind of the majority population in the area. And so where we lived, which was Balmain, Birch Grove area of Australia, it was a very, I guess, Italian. And so my kids learned Italian at school as their one language, starting in preschool, preschool. They taught them, so still to this day, my kids will learn it. And I always thought it was so funny that we lived in Australia and my kids learned Italian.
Oh, and see, I love Italian. Like my accent is actually better Italian. So when I studied abroad in Italy. My mom was born in Italy. People think I'm Italian, but I'm not. I'm like Spanish and Mexican and Native American and all sorts of, you know, blends of things. But I freaking love Italian because it's so melodic. Due biglietti a Santa Maria Novella. Like, I love the way it sounds, like, you know. And so my Spanish sucks because it's hard for me to, like, physically do it with my mouth, you know. That sounded terrible. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I was like, purr.
That's what she said.
Well, I still remember in my Spanish class, we had to like memorize 100 sentences and it was like random sentences. And it's like the stuff you remember. So to this day, I remember, cuando el profesor devolvió los exámenes, Martín temió mirar al suyo. When the teacher gave back the test, Martin was afraid to look at his. I will never fucking forget that sentence for the rest of my life. And so I'm probably trying to order that at McDonald's as opposed to everything else. But it's like that shit that sticks with you.
Well, I have a Spanish sentence as well.
Okay.
Actually, it's a song.
Oh,
okay.
That we used to sing in Spanish class. Donde está mis pantalones? Donde está mis pantalones?
Where are my pants?
Yeah.
Enchones rotos.
I don't know. You know, when you're in high school and you're in Spanish class, you do dumb shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We watched Stand and Deliver in Spanish class over and over. Ganas de triunfar. I fucking love Stand and Deliver, but like watching it in Spanish, like, I mean, I can tell. Like, we watched that like 7 times in a row, as you do, at least did in the 90s in high school.
Wait, though, I have a question. So, this is probably like a Southern thing, but did y'all have to pick like a Spanish name for your Spanish class? Like, I'm sure Lee did not have in her class. Okay, so what was yours?
Burra, B-U-R-R-A, donkey.
I see.
That's amazing. Like, I'm an ass.
Yeah. Mine was, because my name's Ashley, and so that sounds awful. My friends would nickname me ass. Like, anyway, I'm going to stop there. But so my Spanish name was Burra, and I had a cutout of a donkey on my Time magazine on my binder. Yours, Steve?
Well, that's amazing. See, Ava, like
Ava or Ava, like Evie. Ava.
Eva, like okay. Eva, really. E V A. And I don't know why or what. I mean, I picked it, but I'm not sure why because I didn't want to be Jaime. Yeah. So, because it sounds like Hymen.
My face right now, right? Like my face. I'm like.
Lee's like, my Spanish name is no.
Wait, what?
Nunca, never.
They gave
never.
You all, like, they tried to.
Yes, yeah. That's what I said. It's probably like a Southern.
No, but they do that now. Really? My kids did. My son came home and he was.
I guess you're not going to see that in Bexar County.
Yeah. He came home and he was like, he tried to pick Mario. He tried to pick Mario, but there's so many Marios. He's like, I don't want to be Mario H. And so I think he changed to like Victor.
Okay, so you're not going to see that in Bexar County where San Antonio is, where it's like 75% Hispanic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they already have, right? They already have.
Yeah. And they'd be like, WTF?
Yeah, why? We're going to change your name to like some.
Oh my gosh.
So not appropriate though now.
I know. I'm kind of learning.
It's so not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's different, you know? But regions, cultures, right? They're all different. You know what I mean? Okay. But they're trying to do a little immersion, right? They're trying to get people closer to it or whatever. Okay.
Or something.
Or something. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And some of us wear our emotions on our sleeve, and some of us not so much. But regardless, when we keep all of those stressors bottled up, it can start to affect us and those around us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. Now, this is especially important for those besties out there that work in HR or perhaps are a people leader, manager, boss, because people be people, and don't they? They really do. And so you need to make sure you have an outlet to share so that you can thrive. If you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, so it's completely designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HRBesties today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HRBesties. Stay well, besties.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Oh, damn. Well, speaking of inappropriate, I think Ashley had a little current event people have been messaging her about. Very happy hour appropriate.
I covered this one in about 50 seconds in a TikTok last week, but I think we should do it. So this comes from the All In podcast.
Never heard of it.
It's really a political podcast.
Oh, that's why.
But it's by four or five hosts, all men. And one of them is this guy, Shamath, who's like a billionaire friend of Elon Musk,
which enough said.
There you go. And he's an investor. He's the head of a fund called Social Capital. And so they invest and all that. But he did this on the podcast, and there's a video on TikTok. It said, in the companies where I take majority control, there is no HR department. That we do not have an HR department. And his rationale is all they do is create conflict and get in the way of people doing their jobs. And so he recommends three things. So you can eliminate your HR department if you do three things. One is to have an outside law firm lawyer on retainer, like a law firm employment lawyer. They'll take care of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not expensive at all.
Right. Two is to let employees choose their own benefits. And three, that hiring managers should run their own hiring processes. So the example he gives, head of engineering, have them, they do all the hiring today. I certainly had my thoughts. I put those on the social media. But Jamie Lee, what do you think about not having any HR department?
Yeah, I mean, when you sent this, my blood started to boil and I was ready to go at in the comments, you know, like how I am. But I refrained because I knew we were going to talk about it on our happy hour. So I would bear to ask, like, who the fuck is actually doing then those HR tasks in the company? Because there has to be. So you might not have an HR department, but someone is providing the HR task. And I'm talking like the I-9s, the onboarding. You know, I mean, there's still tasks that HR does. The first point that he made is so fucking disappointing. Like, we create conflict. Are you fucking kidding me? All I do is try to fizzle out conflict. Like, that's been my entire life for the last 20 years, because I've always had a really heavy focus on employee relations. So that's like insanely disappointing. Point two, the benefits. Oh, please. Like, I would love to see that happen. Like, you know, I'm the one having to explain to employees what a PEO is and an HSA and good God. And then the third one, can you imagine
anybody?
Engineers like doing phone screens and then like keeping up with like interviews and making offers and keeping the offer letters legal, but even like just not biased. Oh my God. It just sounds like a nightmare, but whatever, to each their own, I guess. But you're wrong.
Right. I mean, I think that he comes from a significant place of privilege to have that sort of opinion. You know what I mean? So all I hear is like this, like insane disconnect of leadership, right? Of he being up here and forgetting the people that actually do the work and their employee experience in doing the work and the support they may need in doing the work and the resources and all of that. But, you know, to me, this is just another prime example of just the lack of complete understanding of what HR actually is and does in an organization. I mean, people have no idea that it's like the full employee life cycle. You're an employee. I'm an employee. It's like that whole experience, that full life cycle, everything from that first phone call, you know, and all the way until you retire, you know, or quit. So there is so much in that behind the scenes. And so I often wonder, is that there? I mean, there's no one to blame per se, but I wonder, is that a failure of us as HR professionals for not vocalizing or sharing more or communicating our value and educating on what HR is and does? You know what I mean? You know, so I picked up on that like 10 years ago, career wise, and I started doing that every time I entered a new job, like explaining, here's what the fuck I actually do here. I want to make sure you get it and that we're on terms here, you know? So yeah, just from thinking of like a proactive way to, you know, combat leaders from even being this fucking stupid to think this, you know, is that partly on us? I don't know.
I think it's on the leaders that come from a place of privilege, that think about things in the terms of spreadsheets. And I mean by that, like not thinking about the names and faces and the consequences of your actions. And so, and as a result, I don't think it's HR's fault. I think a lot of people are put in that position who don't have training. You know, they pull them in and the positions, it's not staffed, it's not trained, it's not valued, it's disparaged. And so, you know, you expectations become reality. And so if you have a very lean person, they can't do anything proactively. So they can't work with employees. Oh, this is how you advocate for yourself. This is how you work better. These are the things. And so this idea that like HR creates conflict to me, and sure, there's absolutely situations where you have someone that doesn't, you know, they breach confidentiality or they don't get back to people. And that's why a lot of what we do is talk about in HR, things that you can do is just having that welcoming approach and meeting people where they are and doing what you can. And to Lee's point, talking about what you do. But this aspect, what I have heard from leaders, again, often leaders in privilege, they'll say, okay, well, we have EPLI. What that is Employment Practices Liability Insurance. So if they get a discrimination claim for companies in the US, globally, I don't know how that works as much, but in the US, everyone people say, "Oh, what's our EPLI? What's our deductible? $40,000." Okay. Well, so willing to do this layoff, we'll make a choice. Things with AF, we'll pay $40,000, and then we'll move on with life. Well, okay, that $40,000 is off and going. Like I talked to a friend last week, and I was like, "What's your rate right now?" Just $1,600 an hour as an employment lawyer. And I will say professionally, the worst version of myself was as an outside law firm employment lawyer. And what I mean by that is because my job was to be beholden to the company and do everything to minimize that risk. I still brought a lot of like perspective and this and tried to bring that in, but it's by far the least satisfying for me because a lot is trying to win in litigation and it just feels fucking shitty to beat an employee that's had a bad experience. And that was for me. That's why I didn't do it. But that is that you are also looking at people on a spreadsheet. But so when you work with people, you know, you pay a $40,000 deductible, you're paying things to your buddy who's going to take you to the Masters or to the Wimbledon or whatever, because you're giving them these law firm rates. And so you guys all think all is fine and good. And this is a cost of doing business. But what that means to that individual employee, you know, they're going to put things on Glassdoor, but everybody else sees what you're doing. And that creates the environment and the way people work. They see how you treat other people. And if you don't value people and what they do, you're never going to live up to your full potential as a business. And so that's why that for me is like, you'd rather pay some lawyer $1,600 an hour than have like five good HR people that you pay $100 an hour. How does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking wild. And it's sad because I feel like even in the last 20 years that I've been in HR, I feel like there has been such a shift in HR is viewed differently than it was even when I, you know, was first in it. And so it's disappointing to still hear people talk about HR like that, because I feel like we've all worked so hard. And even with our social channels, right? I mean, I feel like all of us have, you know, kind of tried to break that stigma of HR is bad, like inherently. And so it's just always, it's disappointing. when you see something like that.
Yeah, it sucks to be viewed as a administrative cost center that doesn't provide value to an organization. And I would submit that HR may not provide value in some organizations, and those are the organizations that don't prioritize their people. To Ashley's point, you know what I mean? And organizations that don't have a strategic business continuity focus. You know, they're not looking ahead 20 years on the effects of, you know, brand and reputation and credibility, like on their business, you know what I mean? They're kind of in the moments and that's how they're operating, right? And so it's just wild. All the different types of people.
Yeah.
And what I will add at the end of this happy hour, because I know, you know, we have the stops, but I put my lawyer hat, Ashley, back on and did a little bit of due diligence. And I was like, well, let's see what Chamath and his fund, let's see how much he lives up to things. So I'm looking up his fund, who they have stakes in. And it wasn't, and I was like, okay, well, it's hard to tell who you have majority control is, which he says, you know, if I have majority control, they won't have an HR department. But I'm like, well, this is his fund. So I was searching like led round. It's like seeing who his company was a lead investor in. And so I found companies that at least his fund has invested in. I'm like, the first few I found, I'm like, oh, here we go. Look them up on LinkedIn. They have HR departments and they have people departments. And so I don't know what companies he's talking about where there's no HR department and these people are picking their own benefits. My guess is those are companies with, you know, two people. But what he's talking about to me is like fantasy land. And then I found that like just a couple weeks ago, it was like his own fund had to fire two partners and bring in a law firm to do an investigation based on what was called a situation about, you know, look up the article. But I was like, oh, so now he's reaping what he sows and paying, you know, God knows how much money. And the law firm, I know, like I would guess it's $1,600 or more an hour. It's probably right. Paying these fees to do investigations. Yeah. To deal with things that if people had more expectations, maybe would not have happened. So it is an absolute road to nowhere. And so I got my research hat on for that one. And I'm like, that's also like what you're talking about, I don't think is happening. So I'd be curious to see how it does.
You sussed out that he's full of shit. Surprise.
Tell me what those companies are. Let's look at their Glassdoor reviews. Let's see the benefits packages that you're offering. Anyway, you got me.
We need a round of shots after that. Don't stress me the fuck out.
Oh, I know.
Shots.
We need something joyful and happy hour-ish, you know. What if we just take like an icebreaker question or two?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Let's do it. The
palate cleanser.
Exactly. Just a little aperitif. Because our listeners, you all submit so many fun questions, crazy questions, insightful questions. And so we certainly want to honor those and highlight those with you all. So let me see. I have kind of this little running list of things that you have asked us. Okay, here's one. And I think this is quite clever. Ladies, what's the most creative excuse you've ever heard from an employee for being late to work? What do you got? Do y'all have anything crazy? Your own crazy excuses?
Well, once I was not late to work, and I should have been, when I was going to work in an office and I was pregnant and my maternity pants split. I mean, split like big gaping hole. And I'd driven from Decatur, where I lived then, in Atlanta to Buckhead, which is a lot of traffic. Those in Atlanta will know. And so I was right there. And I had a big old hole and I had to make that decision. And so I walked like a stick figure, legs together the whole time. I wouldn't leave. I ordered Jimmy John's delivery. I was not leaving. I wouldn't go to the bathroom that day. So I've had that when I probably could have stood, just gone home and changed my pants. But Atlanta traffic is a beast. Jay, what you got?
Yeah, I have one, but I actually support it, that they weren't feeling like working that day, that the vibes were off.
Oh, yeah, I've used that.
Yeah, I mean, if the vibes are off, the vibes are off. Fuck it. Girl, mm-hmm. stay home. Mm-hmm. Take a mental health day.
I love that. I love they didn't even make anything up. Love it. Honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I do that.
How comfortable would you feel to be able to say that? And like, what does that say about the entire working relationship? Love it.
Yeah. I did a video recently about calling in amazing. Like calling in sick. Absolutely. Definitely do that. Don't become a nowhere sick, but call in amazing too. Like sometimes you just feel so good. You don't want to waste it in the workplace.
Yeah.
So call in amazing.
That's, you know? Amazing. That is amazing.
I've definitely done that. You know, I don't really care when people come to work. So I can't even recall a time people have told me they're going to be late, or, you know what I'm saying? Even as a leader, you know, so I just kind of lead that way. Like, hey, just do what you need to do when you need to do it, you know? But I will tell you, one time I had and I still need to do a video on this. I had a manager reach out to me and say, hey, I just want to let you know that a bomb went off across the street from our facility. And this thing made global news. I won't get into it. You could probably Google it and find it. But, you know, a bomb went off across the street, and there's helicopters and SWAT team and FBI and CIA and all these bomb squad. I mean, it's a freaking nightmare. And I was like, oh my gosh, is everyone okay? Oh yeah, everything, you know, they've got the situation handled. I was like, well, thank you so much for letting me know. And then he says, toxic ass bitch, he says, yeah, I just want to let you know, because you need to give yourself some extra time to get to work then this morning. So then I reply, is it safe? And he goes, well, technically, when you think about it, it's probably the safest place in the world right now, because there's so many police and everybody's here, all the agencies.
Oh my God, stop.
That is so rude. That is so
hard
rude.
Stop.
And my
hard
dumb stop. Ass, no. You know, went stupid.
Whoa.
But come on, you know, like, really give yourself some extra time this morning to get to the bomb place. Like, wait, what?
Actually, that's not funny. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. So I don't know. That didn't really answer that question, but oh, here we go. Here's another one that I liked, and I kept it. I mean, I like all y'all's comments, but here's a funny one. If you could ban one overused buzzword, cringe corporate speak from resumes, which would it be and why?
From resumes.
Yeah. Is there a word that you all see come up on resumes that's just annoying?
I'd say helped.
Oh yeah.
Helped, because I feel like that, like, just like whatever you did, I feel like that's people that are like underestimating what they're doing and the importance of what they did, and giving, you know, all the credit to mm-hmm. others. Like, I can own what you did. What did you do? I helped them.
Or even assisted.
Oh, yeah. Assisted. Yeah.
Assisted, helped. I made shit happen. And so you own that, and you made things happen. So that's what I'd say, to own your action, not just look at yourself as a
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one, actually. I don't
know. Okay,
do
well, thank
strong
you.
Strong action verbs.
Yes. And you can Google those.
Yeah, the ChatGPT can be helpful as well. Don't put confidential information in there. But if you do that and do, mm-hmm. it can help you. And
It's a quick one. Could you ask ChatGPT to like scrub your resume for cringy buzzwords?
Yes. I would say it. Put it in there and write, can you create of cringy buzzwords? Again, you never know. ChatGPT is a learning tool, so it may come back with some
crazy shit.
It's iterative, and then you can say, okay, well, I don't like this and I like that.
Ashley is our resident AI expert. She's a LinkedIn instructor and has a course coming out on this, so we all have to keep a lookout.
Coming out in 2 weeks, I think, from today when you're listening to this. So
holy
excited.
Moly. Look at you. Oh, that is exciting. I think for me on the resume, it's not a buzzword. Here I go. I never follow the rules, do I, ladies? Oh my God. But it's a section that sometimes I'm like, like, even though I'm all about like authenticity and, you know, being yourself, I don't like it when there's like hobbies on the resume. But I don't like it for the people, because I think of all the asshole leaders that I've supported that will totally have conscious and unconscious bias on some of those things there, you know? And so I'm like, oh gosh, like, I am interested in you, I promise, but that kind of gives me a little, you know, cringe when I just see a lot of like the hobbies literally listed out, you know what I'm talking about, interests or whatever. It's a little much, you know. If you're going to do that, just make it like super general, like community service, but don't tell me like what you're servicing.
Breathing.
You know, breathing, exactly.
Community service. I pick up trash on the highway because I've been arrested before. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly, because my probation requires it. I need 30 hours. Oh gosh. Anything for you, Jamie? Anything buzzwords? What do you think?
The photo?
Cringe,
really
resume, parts. Oh.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily, I don't hate the photos because I understand paper. Like in different countries, having your photo on your resume is actually a cultural thing. And a lot of different countries do that. I think for me really is like email addresses. So I, you know, and I'm not, I don't judge you, but here's the thing. I've seen some crazy ass shit. I remember someone literally having the email address, and this is for like a clinical, high level clinical position. Okay, keep that in mind. And it was like Doobie Smoker 420. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, whatever you do on your off time is none of my fucking business, but this is for like a high clinical licensed role or like, or God, what is something else that I saw? Like Crazy Bitch 69 or like,
I've had hates to work 6969 at hotmail.com.
Yeah.
I've done videos on that because it's just sticks with me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like that's the one thing, like just, you know, email addresses are free. Just open up a new Gmail address with like your name. Like, let's just think about it a little bit.
I know. It's one of those professionalism things, you know? Oh, like you said, you hate to judge.
They do make me laugh, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to judge. And I don't, and I actually reached out to Doobie Smoker.
Yeah. To give him the feedback. Yeah.
For the position. Yeah. No, for the position. Okay. I really did reach out to her.
Do you have any
shit? We didn't end up hiring her. She was a little flaky. Go figure. But I'm not kidding, too. She was a little flaky. But, you know, it's, you know, and that's the thing is like, I try not to put a bias on it, but I can tell you if I pass that resume to the hiring manager will be like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Like, I'm not hiring Doobie Smoker 420.
Oh my God.
Yeah. As my nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. Like,
nope. I know, right? Oh gosh. Sometimes those little things, they do leave a lasting impression. You only have one chance to make a first impression. And you know, you may end up on an HR person's fridge. I've put a couple of resumes on my fridge before. but so we do appreciate the quick chuckle, but probably want to shy away from, you know, 69 in your email if you're trying to find a job. Just the pro tip, Friday pro tip, happy hour pro tip.
In those June 9th birthdays, because I have a very good friend whose AOL screen name back in the day ended in 69, and his birthday is 69. He listens to the podcast, so if he's listening to now. But yeah, your June 9th birthday, just...
Yeah, don't have your birthday in your email anyway, but...
Yeah. Yeah, June 9th, 1969 is probably the double 6969, but yes.
Oh, man. I didn't think about that. Yep. That helps. Oh, gosh. Well, on that note, shout out to those June 9th birthdays. But hey, everybody, enjoy their weekend. Survive the rest of Friday.
Happy Easter to those celebrating. Hopefully everyone else enjoy the weekend.
Yes. TGIFF, besties.